الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we have begun discussing the issues related to الأنساك الثلاثة, أنساك الحج الثلاثة, the three different manners to perform the sacred rites of الحج. And in our discussion likewise previously, we had spoken about the rites of Umrah first and foremost, and the brief and summarized description of how to perform the Umrah according to that which has been authenticated from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is important likewise because the one who is going to perform Hajj many times along without, he would perform the Umrah, rather it's recommended for him to do so. And this is the issue. And likewise, understanding the smaller rites from these two rites is a means to also understand the greater rites. And both of them, they have a relationship and many similarities. And likewise, after that, we discussed the issue of al-hajj, which would be the description of making hajj al-tamattu', hajj al-tamattu', the type of sacred rites that one will perform while making hajj, whenever he will gather between the two rites together, performing the rites of Umrah first and finishing them entirely in the months of al-hajj, and then remaining in Mecca or upon the same journey, and then whenever the days of Hajj enter, re-entering into the Ihram now for Hajj and completing those rites. And I would like to draw the attention any to something in the previous class that had slipped my mind, and that is in the ending of those rites of al-Hajj, we had forgot to mention Tawaf al-Wada', Tawaf al-Wada', and the very last thing that the person making Hajj, he will do after he has completed the rites and he's ready to leave Mecca, then at this time he will make Tawaf al-Wada', the farewell Tawaf, and then in this manner the rites will be completed for him. So he must make the Tawaf al-Wada'. We have seen the details with regards to this and the rest of the obligations and pillars as well in our previous classes. So just as a reminder to complete that which was mentioned in the previous class, those rites will not be finished until he makes Tawaf al-Wada', Tawaf al-Wada'. In this manner he will have closed and finalized and finished the rites of al-Hajj, and now he's only hoping for the reward and hoping that it had been accepted from him. It had been accepted from him. So those three rites, or the ansak al-thalatha, those three rites and three manners, the three manners of performing those sacred rites are al-ifrad, wal-qiran, and al-tamattu'. Al-ifrad and al-qiran and al-tamattu'. In our previous class, we had discussed al-tamattu', and this is what the author is mentioning, Babu al-tamattu', the chapter of al-tamattu'. And again, to summarize briefly, this is whenever a person, he will travel to Mecca, and he will make the Ihram for Umrah in the days of Hajj. In the days of Hajj. And then he will complete the Umrah and leave the Ihram and come back to be halal in a normal state. Everything that was previously prohibited from him because of the Ihram is now allowed for him again. He finishes the rites of Umrah entirely in those days, and he remains in Mecca. Or he remains on that same journey and waiting for the days of Hajj to enter, waiting for the 8th of Dhul Hijjah to come, and then at that time he will re-enter into the Ihram now for Hajj, and he will complete the rites of Hajj likewise after that, and then finish. So in this manner he had completed the Umrah in entirety, entered into the Ihram for Umrah, completed the rites, and came out of the Ihram for Umrah, and then waited for the days of Hajj to come, and then entered into the Ihram for Hajj, and then completed the rites of Hajj, and then exited from the Ihram of Hajj, and now he has the pleasure of combining between fulfilling both of these rites in one journey. And likewise, he has the pleasure of being in the state of halal, between the two rites, being in the state of halal, where it's permissible for him to wear the garments that he likes, and to cover his head, and to wear the perfume, and to have intimacy with his wife, so on and so forth, in between these two rites. So from this aspect, it's called a tamaddu', yani talazzuth, yani wata'na'um, that he's taking on this pleasure and enjoying himself in this manner. And this is the one, this is the rite that is preferred and recommended and best in the according to many of the scholars, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had encouraged all of his companions, rather he ordered them sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make their hajj, the hajj tamattu', except for those who had brought along with them from the miqat an animal for sacrifice. He ordered all of them to make their hajj into tamattu', sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then whenever he was asked about that, he also mentioned that had he not had the animal to sacrifice brought along with him, he would have done the same thing. So he had hoped to do that likewise, and plus also in this manner, these sacred rites here in the way of a tamattu' is considered having more actions, the most actions, and he will perform the hajj, he will perform the umrah in entirety, all of the actions of umrah he will perform them, and then after that all of the actions of hajj he will perform them also at the same time. So from these aspects, the people of knowledge mentioned that this is the most virtuous of those rites, and the one that is most recommended, and that Allah knows best. Now we discuss the issue of Al-Ifrad and Al-Qiran. Al-Ifrad and Al-Qiran. Al-Ifrad, it's the master of Afrada. Afradahu yufriduhu. Who knows this word, Al-Ifrad, for some other studies that we have studied? Ifradullahi bi-ribadah, the definition of التوحيد إفراد الله بالعبادة يعني هذا هو التوحيد يعني to make توحيد means to make الإفراد إفراد الله بالعبادة to single out Allah alone for all actions of worship. So the linguistic meaning of الإفراد is to single something out. So what is intended here? إفراد أعمال الحج. إفراد أعمال الحج يعني to single out حج and to perform the actions of حج alone to single out the intention and the actions for حج alone, for hajj alone. So the person who's making al-ifrad, this type of nusuk, he's only going to intend to perform hajj, and he's only going to perform the actions of al-hajj. He's only going to intend to make al-hajj, and he's only going to perform the actions of al-hajj. So therefore, he has no umrah. He's not intending to make umrah, and he's not going to perform any of the rites of umrah. Rather, he's only intending to make hajj, and he is going to perform only the rites of al-hajj. So this one is called al-ifrad, and the one who was performing that, he's called the mufrid. And then the other type of nusuk is al-qiran, and this is likewise from the verb qarana. Qarana yaqrunu, to combine something. Qaranahu, yani he combined two things together. Yani jama'ahum. Jama'a, qaranahuma, or qarana baynahuma, yani annahu jama'a baynahuma, or jama'ahuma. He gathered them together. So al-qiran is whenever a person, he will make hajj and umrah together with the same intention, but he will only perform the actions of hajj. He will only perform the actions of al-hajj. So the difference between the ifrad, al-ifrad and al-qiran is the intention, but the actions are the same. The actions are the same, and likewise the result of that is different as well. So the intention is different, and based upon that the result is different as well. And the evidence is إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. So the one who's making ifrad, he made the intention for hajj only. And the one who's making qiran, he's made the intention for hajj and umrah together. So he will have what he had intended. He would have what he had intended. But both of them, they only make the rites of hajj. Both of them, they only make the rites of hajj. So the one who's making qiran, he has the intention for the umrah, and he has the reward for the umrah, and it's as if he made the umrah. He has that obligation is removed from him, and he has the reward for that, but he doesn't do any of the rites of umrah. He doesn't do any of the rites of umrah. We understand? So the one who's making al-ifrad and the one who's making al-qiran, outwardly in the actions, they do the exact same thing. They do the exact same thing, except for in the ihram. In the ihram, the one who's making ifrad, he will say, لبيك اللهم حجا. He's going to say, oh Allah, I'm responding to your call, I'm making hajj. making Hajj. And in his heart, he will have the intention to make Hajj only. And as for the one who's making Qiran, in his heart, he has the intention to make Hajj and Umrah together. But he's combining them together. So he'll say, لبيك اللهم عمرة في حجة. عمرة في حجة. So he'll say, oh Allah, I'm responding to your call, making Umrah combined with the Hajj. Combined with the Hajj. So this is the difference here in entering into the Ihram. But after that, the actions are all exactly the same. The actions are all exactly the same. Neither one of them will perform any rites of Umrah. Rather, they will only perform the rites of Al-Hajj outwardly. Outwardly. The only other difference likewise after that is because the Qarin, the one who's making Qiran, he has gathered between both of these rites together, then in one journey, then likewise he's sharing with the mutamatti', and the fact that he is making two of these sacred rites in one journey. So just like the mutamatti', he has to slaughter a hadi, likewise the qarin has to slaughter a hadi. He has to slaughter the sacrifice, the slaughter the animal on the day of an-nahr. As for the mufrid, he does not have to slaughter an animal. He doesn't have to slaughter the animal. He has no hadi. He has no hadi. We understand this. We understand this. So the one who's making arifrat, he's going to make hajj only, and he has no hadi. The hadi is the slaughtered animal that is slaughtered because of the rites of hajj. An animal that is slaughtered as an obligation in performing the rites of hajj. It's called a hadi. It's called a hadi. It's an animal that is slaughtered as an obligation to fulfill the rites of hajj. This hadi is on the mutamatti' and on the qarin only. And this is from showing thanks. Showing thanks to Allah. It's called dam shukran. Showing thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal for this great blessing of completing these two great sacred rites in one journey. Of completing these two great sacred rites in one journey. We understand this. So then the one who's making al-ifrad, he's only going to yufridu amal al-hajj. Yufriduha and the umrah. La yaf'alu shay'an min al-umrah. He's not going to do any actions from umrah. He's going to single out the actions of hajj, he's going to do them alone. And he's going to intend only likewise to make hajj. This is the mufrid. The one who's qarin, he's like him. He's going to do the same thing, but he has the intention to combine his hajj with umrah. So he's going to have an umrah, he's going to return home with umrah and hajj. But he's only going to perform the actions of hajj. He's only going to perform the actions of hajj. But the difference likewise is that he has to slaughter the hadi on the day of an-nahr. On the day of an-nahr, like the mutamatti'. But the one who's making ifrat, he doesn't have to do that. We understand this. So we're going to go back over it again. The one who's making a tamattu', what is he going to do? He's going to come to Mecca in the days of hajj. This is why all the knowledge that we discussed previously, we put it into application now. الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. And Ibn Umar, what did he say about أشهر الحج? شوال وذل قعدة وعشر من ذي الحجة. So these are the times that it's allowed to enter into the rites of Hajj. So what is intended by that? This is the time for Ihram. من فرض فيهن الحج الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فمن أحرم بالحج فيها. The one who entered into the Ihram in these months. So once these months enter, it's allowed for the person who's making tamattu' to come and make Umrah for tamattu'. It's allowed for the person who's making Qiran likewise to come and to enter into the state of Ihram. And likewise for the one who's making Ifrad. The difference between the three is the one who's making tamattu', he will come and he will enter into Umrah. And he'll make Umrah and he will come out. And he will stay in Mecca all the way until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, and then he'll enter back into Hajj. Then he'll enter into Hajj, Ihram. You understand? So if he came early, for example, he came in Shawwal. He came in Shawwal, and then he made Umrah in Shawwal with the intention of Tamattu', and then he remained in Mecca all the way until Dhul Hijjah. After he made Umrah, he comes out of his Umrah, and he comes out of the Ihram, and he's in the Halal. He's in the normal state, relaxing in Mecca. Relaxing in Mecca, if he's still on the same journey, for example, he's not from the people of Medina, he could go visit Al-Medina and the likes like this, or in the area, in any case, he remains on that same journey all the way until the days of Hajj comes. Now he enters back into the Ihram. So then he enters into the Ihram to make Umrah, he finishes that, he leaves the Ihram, he's back to normal, alhamdulillah. That which was haram for him before, that which was mahdhur before him before, now becomes allowed for him. And now he spends the rest of the time in Mecca, worshiping Allah as he likes and enjoying and taking pleasure in the things that are allowed for him. Normally, alhamdulillah, and then whenever the days of Hajj comes, he enters back into the ihram for Hajj and he completes those rites. He completes those rites. As for the one who came, for example, in Shawwal and he intended to make Qiran, then he would enter into the state of al-ihram and he would remain there until the animal was slaughtered. Until the animal was slaughtered. When is the animal slaughtered? On the day of Eid, on Yawm al-Nahr, not until then. So if he came in Shawwal, he entered into the state of Ihram. For Shawwal, he will come and we will see the actions that he will do. And in reality, they may seem similar. And they are from an aspect, but he will remain in his Ihram. He will not come out. And likewise, the one who's making Ifrat as well, he will come whenever he comes. Even if he came in Shawwal, he will come and enter into the Ihram for Hajj, and he will remain in Ihram all the way until he finishes his rites. All the way until he finishes his rites. And he comes out of the Ihram for Hajj. And he finishes those rites of Hajj. Similar to the Qarin. Similar to the Qarin. So this is the difference here. So now we see the benefit of Tamattu', right? So that he will come and enter into those rites and then get out of them. Because it's difficult to be in Ihram. And it's difficult to not be able to take from your hair or to wear perfume or to cover your head or to wear any garments that are tailored for your body or to wear shoes and the likes like this. This is a hardship that the one who's in Ihram, he will bear that. And these things that are forbidden from him is something that normally is allowed and a person is very accustomed to. Is very accustomed to choosing the type of clothing he wants to wear, wearing a thobe and a nice garment and the likes like this, clothes underneath and then clothes on top, so on and so forth, covering his head, wearing perfume, all of these affairs here, trimming his nails whenever he likes. All of this is great luxuries that we have daily. But in the Ihram, they're not allowed. So the fact that he's only in Ihram for a brief moment to fulfill the rites, then he's out of that while he's still on the journey for Hajj. This is something very beneficial for him. And then he enters back into the Ihram whenever Hajj comes. As for the Mufrid and the Qarin, then they will remain from the time they enter into Ihram all the way until the rites of Hajj are finished. All the way until the rites of Hajj are finished. We understand this? So this is the main difference. So the one who is making Tamattu', he has to slaughter the Hadi. The author has a chapter with regards to this, the next chapter after this one. We study inshaAllah. And likewise, the one who's making Qiran, he has to slaughter the Hadi as well. As for the one who's making Ifrat, there's no Hadi for him. That's obligatory. There's no Hadi for him that is obligatory. We understand the difference between these three types of rites. So, for example, the one who is going to make Al-Ifrat, and likewise, the one who's going to make Al-Qiran, the actions that they perform are basically the same. The only differences are that the one who's making Qiran is going to intend, when he makes Ihram, to make Umrah with Hajj together. He's going to combine them together in his intention. The one who's making Qiran, he's going to combine the Umrah and the Hajj together in his intention. And as for the one who's making Ifrat, he's only going to intend to make Hajj. Who's only going to intend to make Hajj. So this is in the heart. And this is the pillar of Al-Ihram. Right? And then the sunnah for that is to make the talaffuz. So that's going to be different likewise. So the one who's making Qiran, he's going to make the talaffuz. He's going to mention the type of rites that he had intended. He's not mentioning his intention. He's not pronouncing his intention. The intention is not pronounced as something in the heart. Intentions are in the heart. As for that which is pronounced, he's pronouncing the type of rites that he intended. So then he will say, Labbaik Allahumma umratan fi hajjah. Umratan fi hajjah. I'm making umrah combined with hajj. Or hajjatan fi umrah, like this. Either way, the people of Allah has mentioned, you can say it both ways. Both ways. To say umratan fi hajjah is better because that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said. And we know likewise that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hajjah qarinan. Hajjah qarinan. The Prophet, he made al-Qiran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the details, some of the details, inshallah, of this will come, when we read the narrations, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So then, and as for the one making al-ifrad, then he's going to say, labbaik Allahumma hajja only, la ri'a fihi wa la sum'a, and like this. So he's going to intend to make hajj, and he's going to pronounce the type of nusuk that he intended like this. So this is the difference. Then as for the actions that they perform, they're going to be exactly the same, except for one thing. On the day of Nahr, the one who's making Qiran, he has to slaughter. Obligatory. He has an obligation of slaughtering an animal, and that obligation is not on the one who making Ifrat. It's not on the one making Ifrat. We understand this? So then both of them, what will they do? They will enter into the state of Ihram from the Miqat. They'll enter into the state of Al-Ihram from the Miqat. For example, if they're coming from Medina, or if they're coming from the direction on the airplane, whenever they come to the Miqat, or the one on the airplane, he's near to the Miqat, then they will make the intention. One of them will make the intention to make Qiran, the other he makes the intention to make Ifrad. Now they both become Muhrim. They both entered into the rites of Hajj. So now they both make the Talbiyah. They make the Talbiyah like we discussed yesterday, and they come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. They come to Mecca. They come to Mecca after entering into the Ihram from the Miqat. Both of them, the Qarin, the one who makes Qiran, he's called Qarin. The one who makes Ifrad, he's called Mufrid. Mufrid. These are terms we have to understand in order to discuss these topics. So the one who's Qarin and the one who's Mufrid, both of them, they come to the house of Allah. And the first thing they would do is make Tawaf. But the Tawaf here is called Tawaf al-Qudum. And it's only a Sunnah. It's not from the rites of Hajj. It's not from the rites of Hajj. We have to understand this part. This is the difference now between the one who's making Tamattu' and these other two rites. They are only making they're only performing the actions of Hajj. So the actions of Hajj, they start on the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah. Maybe they came on the first day of Dhul Hijjah. We'll say, for example, on the first day of Dhul Hijjah, these two people, one of them is making Qiran and the other one he's making Ifrad, they come to Mecca. They pass the Miqat. They enter into the Ihram, one for Qiran and the other for Ifrad. Both of them, they make the Talbiyah all the way till they get to the house of Allah. What's legislated for them now? The first thing they do whenever they enter Mecca is to go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla to make Tawaf, seven laps. Seven laps. But this Tawaf here is on the first day of Dhul Hijjah. The rites of Hajj have not even begun yet for them. They're only making the actions of Hajj. Those actions do not begin until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. So this Tawaf here is called Tawaf al-Qudum. It's only a Sunnah. It's recommended. It's not an obligation. If they didn't do it, there would not be any sin upon them. If they didn't do it, there would not be any sin upon them. But they should do it. And anyone who comes to Mecca in this manner, the first thing he would do with the sacred rites is he'll make Hajj. He'll make Tawaf. So these two, they will come and they'll make Tawaf in the same manner that we described yesterday. The description of the Tawaf of Qudum is the description of Tawaf al-Umrah. So Tawaf al-Qudum, they call it At-Tawaf al-Awwal. At-Tawaf al-Awwal, the first Tawaf. Anybody who's coming to Mecca to do the sacred rites of Hajj al-Umrah, the very first Tawaf that he makes is called Tawaf al-Qudum. So the Umrah, the one making Umrah, he only makes one Tawaf. So then his Tawaf is Qudum, but it's really Tawaf Umrah. So it's the first Tawaf. The first Tawaf that you make, then you do it the same way you do it when you make Umrah. Meaning that he's going to make Ramal for the first three laps. And that he's going to make Al-Tiba' for all seven laps. There's a difference between the two. Huh? The Ramal is the first three laps. As for exposing the right shoulder, this is for all seven laps. For which Tawaf? The first Tawaf. How do we benefit from that? Because in Umrah, there's only one Tawaf. So that's easy. But in Hajj, there is two Tawaf. There's two Tawaf. There's the one that's a pillar, and there's the one that's a pillar is a rukn. There's the one that's a pillar, and there's the one that's the wajib. There's the one that's a pillar, is Tawaf al-Ifadah, and there's the one that's the wajib, and it's Tawaf al-Wada'. And also for them as well, because they're coming to Mecca, is a sunnah, another Tawaf. So the one who's making Hajj al-Ifrad or Hajj al-Qiran, he's going to make three Tawaf. One of them is Sunnah, the next one is a pillar, the first one is a Sunnah, the second one is a pillar, and the third one is an obligation. And the first one is a Sunnah, it's called Tawaf al-Qudum, the first thing he does when he comes to Mecca. The first thing he does when he comes to Mecca. The second one will be on the day of al-Nahr, it's called Tawaf al-Ifadah, or Tawaf al-Ziyarah, or Tawaf al-Rukn, or Tawaf al-Sadr, we talked about this before. And the third one that he's going to make is called Tawaf al-Wada'. And that's the last thing he will do before, whenever he finishes his rites and he's ready to leave Mecca. and he's ready to leave Mecca. So from here, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that this Tawaf al-Qudum is called a Tawaf al-Awwal. From this aspect, it's the first Tawaf. So the first Tawaf, this includes the Tawaf al-Qudum and the Tawaf al-Umrah. These two Tawaf. They have the description of making the Ramal in the first three laps, and the description of exposing the right shoulder in all seven laps. And all seven laps. As for the other Al-Tawifa, there's no ramal and there's no showing the shoulder. You don't make ramal in tawaf al-ifadah, nor do you make ramal in tawaf al-wada', nor do you expose your right shoulder in either one of those tawaf likewise. The only time you expose your shoulder and the only time you make ramal is in the tawaf qudum, or tawaf, which is for the mu'tamar, tawaf al-umrah. Tawaf al-umrah. You understand this now? This is clear? Okay, so the one who's making the ifrad and the one who's making the qiran, he's going to come to the house of Allah. The first thing he's going to do is make tawaf. This one is called tawaf al-qudum. It's a sunnah for him. It's a sunnah for him. So whenever he's making talbiyah all the way till he gets to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever he's ready to begin to enter into the tawaf, now he stops the talbiyah. And he lowers the garment from his right shoulder and exposes that. And he faces the black stone, or the corner with the black stone in it. He raises his right hand and says, Allahu Akbar. Or we can say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And there's other things he can say. Likewise, that's authenticated. But I just mentioned that which is that which is easiest for the people. If they learn that likewise, alhamdulillah, you can find that in the work of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. He mentioned a lot of these narrations. Also that could be found in other books as well, but there's a book that's brief by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah about the nusuk of Hajj and Umrah, and likewise there's a book that is brief by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, which is very good, called Tafsir al-Manasiq. This one is very, very beneficial. And there's also another one by Sheikh Ibn Baz called Tawdih al-Ahkam, I forget the name of it now, Al-Idah wal وتوضيح في كثير من أحكام العمرة الحج والعمرة نعم الإضاح it's called الإضاح نعم أحسنت جزاك الله خيرا. And there's another one that's also, these are all like small pamphlets, small booklets, also by Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi رحمه الله تعالى. These are very, very beneficial, that will explain these affairs. So the one who's making ifrad or qiran, he comes to the house of Allah. Whenever he gets to the house, he's ready to make tawaf, he cuts off the tarbiyah. All before that, ever since he entered into the ihram, he's making talbiyah. And then he makes he raises his right hand, makes the takbir, and he begins the tawaf. He makes the ramul for the first three laps. Whenever he gets to the Yemeni stone, now he will say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. He will continue that all the way to the black stone. As for in between that, on the other side, he's just making dua or reciting the Quran or making adhkar, and the light side is what he's in the tawaf. So he makes the ramul. This is again if he's able to. If he's not able to, he will not do it. He will not do it. And as for the Iltibad, then no doubt he will do that the whole time, all seven of them. After he finishes three of them, he will stop making Ramal, he will walk the rest of the way. And then he will complete four more laps walking until he has seven laps. After he has seven laps, he will go behind. He will put the garment back on his shoulder again, covering both shoulders, which is the normal state for the Muhrim in these rites. And then he will pray two rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim. And he will not pray directly behind that, endangering himself and the rest of the people, whether you back away far as he can to where he's out of the path of those making laps around the Kaaba, and likewise out of the way of the people walking, endangering himself and others. And even if he's not available to go behind, he'll move to the left or right or anywhere in the masjid, and he'll pray those two rak'ah. And he'll recite Al-Kafirun and Al-Ikhlas. And those two rak'ah, he'll pray them briefly, and then he will go in the direction of Safa. And then if he drinks some zamzam water on the way, and then pours some on his head likewise and makes dua, this is all from the sunnah as well. And then he will come to the Safa, the person making ifrad, the person now he's making ifrad or al-qiran, he has a choice. He has a choice here. If he wants to make sa'i, he can make sa'i, because he made tawaf. The tawaf for him is qudum, which is sunnah. So since he made a tawaf, it's allowed for him to make sa'i, the sa'i for hajj. So the one who's making ifrad or qiran, he has the obligation of making one tawaf one sa'i. What were the pillars of Hajj? Al-Ihram, Al-Tawaf, Al-Sa'i, Al-Wukuf bi-Arafah.
طواف
الإفاضة والسعي الإحرام الوقوف بعرفة طواف الإفاضة السعي السعي these four right here نعم these are the pillars these are the pillars making the إحرام making the وقوف بعرفة and making طواف الإفاضة and making سعي these are the pillars. So that means that he has to make one tawaf, that's a pillar, and one sa'i, that's a pillar. That's a pillar. The one who's making ifrad, and the one who's making qiran. And for the hajj. For the hajj. And in the mutamatta, his hajj is the same likewise, but these people, they're only making hajj. So therefore, now he made the tawaf, which is a sunnah for him. But it's allowed for him now, if he likes, to go ahead and make the sa'i for his hajj. To go ahead and make the sa'i for his hajj. If he makes sa'i now after tawaf al-qudum, it's considered the sa'i for his hajj. It's considered the sa'i for his hajj. And if he didn't make sa'i, now it's an obligation for him to make sa'i after he makes tawaf al-ifada. So therefore the sa'i for hajj, the one who's making the ifrad or qiran has two places. Either after tawaf al-qudum or after tawaf al-ifada. These are the places for that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made his sa'i for his hajj sallallahu alaihi wasallam after tawaf al-qudum. After tawaf al-qudum. So he made you make tawaf al-qudum, and then after that you make sa'i. The sa'i is considered from the rites of hajj because he's in the ihram for hajj, and he made the sa'i after al-tawaf, which is the condition for the sa'i. We've seen that before, the condition for the sa'i of hajj. And yakuna ba'da tawaf sahih. That it will be after a correct tawaf. A tawaf that is considered correct. So after that, he will remain in his ihram. If he made the sa'i, it counts for his hajj. If he didn't make the sa'i, he just waits. And he doesn't have to. But if he did, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And now he will remain in Mecca in his ihram all the way until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And then he will go with the hujjaj to Mina, and then he will complete the rites of Hajj. You understand this? So he will not, the difference between him and the Mu'tamar, now the Mu'tamar, the difference between him and the one making Tamattu', the one who's making Tamattu', after the Sa'i, he's going to shave his head and come out of the Ihram. As for the one making Qiran and making Ifrat, he's not going to shave his head, rather he's going to remain in the Ihram, and he's going to remain waiting until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And he's still in his ihram, and he's going to go to Mina at that time and perform those rites. He's going to go to Mina and spend the day there until the morning time, and then on the next morning, and before Dhuhr, he's going to go to Arafah. He's going to spend the day in Arafah, as has preceded in our previous class. And after Maghrib of Arafah, he's going to go to Muzdalifah and then spend the night in Muzdalifah in the manner that had preceded. And then after Fajr in Muzdalifah, before the sun rises, he's going to head back to Mina. And on his way back, he's going to stone the Jamarat, the Aqaba, the big one, 7 times. And then after that, if he's Qarin, he's going to slaughter. If he's Mufrid, he doesn't have to slaughter. If he's Qarin, he's going to slaughter. If he's Mufrid, he doesn't have to slaughter. And then he's going to shave his head. And he wants to shave his head. In this manner, they come out what is called a Tahallul al-Awwal. They come coming out a little bit from the ihram. And now after performing these rites, after at this time on the day of Nahr, after stoning the jamara and after shaving the head and slaughtering for the one who has to slaughter, then now they come out of the ihram a little bit. It's called at-tahallul al-awwal. They can do everything except for have intimacy, sexual relations. They can put their clothing back on, they can cover their head again, they can put perfume back on and the likes like this. But they're still in the ihram, only they are coming out of it. They're on their way out. Everything is allowed for them except for women. Except for intimacy, except for sexual intercourse. Then after that, they'll go to Mecca and make tawaf al-ifadah. And now they come out of the ihram. After that, they come out of the ihram. After they made these three rites. So the people of Nar, as they mentioned, that التحلل الأول يكون بإثنين من ثلاثة. التحلل الأول. The تحلل means to come out of the ihram. There's two stages of that. التحلل الأول, coming out of the ihram, the first stage. والتحلل الثانية, التحلل الكامل, is coming out of ihram entirely on the second stage. So the first stage happens by performing two rites from three. And they're the rites of Avran Halt, except for the Nahr is not completed. So that means the Rami and the Halq and the Tawafi Fadha. So if you perform two of these three, you come out at the Halul al-Awwal. What is it? Tahallul al-Awwal means? What does it mean? It means it's allowed for him to do everything that was not allowed for him while in Ihram, except for sexual intercourse. Except for intimacy and sexual intercourse. So he's allowed now to put his clothing back on, to cover his head again, to wear shoes again. It's allowed for him to wear perfume again. All of this is allowed for him, only he cannot have sexual relations until he completes the third of those three. And the order that he would do it is that he would make the rami and then the halq, and now he makes the halul al-awwal. And then the last thing he has to do is make tawaf al-ifadah, and now he has come out entirely, come out of ihram entirely. But we've seen likewise before, although this is the best arrangement, the reason why the people of Najd say two out of three is because you can do it in any order. So if it so happened he made the tawaf first, and then he made the halq after that, now he still has to make the rami. So he didn't make the halul, he didn't come out kamilan. He's not completely out, he's only halfway out. He on the first stage, the halul al-awwal. Because the halul al-awwal is by performing two of the three rites. And to come out entirely from the ihram is by performing all three of those rites. So the one who is qarin, he has the hadith to slaughter. And the one who is mufrid, he doesn't have the hadith to slaughter. This is the difference here on the day of an-Nahr. Everything else is the same. And then they will spend the 11th night and the 12th night and 13th night in Mina, if they stay for the whole period. And every day on the 11th, 12th, and 13th day after Dhuhr, they will go and stone the Jamarat, all three of them, beginning with the small one, seven times, and then the medium one seven times, and then the large one seven times. We discussed the Sunnah and of Dua and the likes of this, any the details of that previously. They'll do that every day, all 3 days, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. If they leave early, they'll do that on the 11th day and the 12th day. But they have to leave Mina before the sunset of the 13th night. If they're there after sunset on the 13th night, they have to stay the next day and stone the next day. But if they want to leave early, they have to leave before the sunset of the 12th day, which is the beginning of the 13th night. So on those days of Tashriq, they will stone the Jamarat, all three of them, seven times each, from the small one to the medium one to the large one, after Zawal, after the Dhuhr time, before Maghrib. This is the time to do that, and then the rest of the time they spend it in Mina. And then whenever they finish these rites, and they are ready to leave Mecca, now they will make Tawaf al-Wada'. Last thing they do, and now that's the last thing, and the rites have been sealed, and he has finished his rites, and now he leaves Mecca. And he returns home, or he visits al-Masjid al-Nabawi, and these are those rites. These are those rites. So it's possible that any one person is performing At-tamattu' and another one he's performing Qiran, and another one he's performing Ifrad, and all of them are at the same time. We understand this. All of them come at this date. For example, all of them, they come on the first of Dhul-Hijjah. This one attended Tamattu', this one attended Qiran, and this one attended Ifrad. So all of them, they'll be at the same time, and all of them, they'll be performing their rites in the manner that's required for them for each of those sacred rites. So the difference between the three, the one who's in Tamattu', he's going to come and make all of the rites of Umrah. He's going to come, enter into Ihram, and then make all of the rites of Umrah, then leave the Ihram and wait for the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah to re-enter into the Ihram now for Hajj, and then he'll complete the rites of Hajj. And as for the one who's making Qiran and the one who's making Al-Ifrad, and then he's going to come with them likewise, and he's going to come into the Ihram, but they make the Ihram for Hajj. The Ifrad makes it for Hajj only, and the Mufrid and the Qiran, the Al-Qiran, he's going to make it for Umrah and Hajj. And then they're going to come, for example, if they're all three of them are together, All three of them together. This one he came in and he's making tamattu'. This one he's making qiran. And this one he's making ifrad. All three of them are going to come to the house of Allah and make tawaf. All three of them are going to come to the house of Allah and make tawaf. And we'll say all three of them likewise, and after that they're going to make sa'i. Right? All three of them are going to come and make tawaf, and then they're going to make sa'i. The one in tamattu', he's making the tawaf and the sa'i for umrah. So after he's done with that, he's going to shave his hair or trim his hair. And at this time he's coming at the first of Dhul-Hijjah, so it's preferred for him to trim his hair. So that way he saves some hair to be shaved for the rites of Hajj. For the rites of Hajj. And as for the Qiran and the Ifrat, they're going to make the tawaf with the one in tamattu', but their tawaf is sunnah. Their tawaf is sunnah. While the tawaf of the mutamattu' is an obligation, it's a pillar for the umrah. It's a pillar for the umrah. And then, so they all make tawaf together. His is for his umrah, and theirs is sunnah for coming to Mecca. For coming to Mecca. And then they're going to make sa'i. After that, and the one in tamattu', his sa'i is from the pillar of his umrah. And as for the sa'i of the qarin and the mufrid, it is for hajj. It's a pillar also, but for hajj. For hajj. And then after that, the mutamattu', he's going to shave his head and come out of the ihram. He's going to put his clothes back on and enjoy himself in ease. And as for the qarin and the mufrid, they're going to remain in ihram. And all of that which was previously haram for him remains haram for them. All three of them are going to wait until the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. The mutamattu', yatamattu' bi halal. The one who's making a tamattu', he's going to enjoy himself in the halal manner, where everything is still allowed for him. As for the qarin and the mufrid, then all of those things are still haram for them all the way until the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Then on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, the qarin and the mufrid, they're going to go to Mina. And their intention never changes. They're still in ihram. And as for the mutamattu', now he has to re-enter into ihram. So he's going to take his clothes off again. He's going to bathe again and prepare himself again. And then he's going to put the clothing of ihram on again. And now he's going to say, Labayk Allahumma hajja. So now he's going to have the intention to make hajj. And now all three of them, they perform the rites of hajj the same. And now all three of them, they perform the rites of hajj the same. All the way until the day of Nahr. Now there's a slight difference again. The one who's making tamattu', he has to slaughter the hadi. And the one who's making qiran, he has to slaughter the hadi. And the one who's making ifrad, he doesn't have to slaughter the hadi. And then after that, again, they return. The actions are all exactly the same. The rites are all exactly the same until they finish. And now whenever they finish, it's different. The one who made ifrad, he goes home with hajj only. The one who made qiran, he made the actions of hajj only, but he goes home with umrah and hajj. He goes home with Umrah and Hajj. You understand that? His intention was to combine them together, and he returns home with Umrah and Hajj. So we have seen previously, and Allah knows best, the best position is that Umrah is wajibah. Just like Hajj is wajib. So he fulfilled that obligation. He fulfilled that obligation by making Qiran. And likewise, he has the reward of that likewise. Their obligation is removed, and also he has the reward of that while he only performed the actions of Hajj. He only performed the actions of the Hajj. So likewise, he's taking pleasure in this affair. He has the reward of performing both rites, and he has as if he has performed both rites. And the responsibility is removed for both rites, and the reward has established for both rites. So from this aspect, likewise, the Qiran is also considered a type of tamattu'. It's also considered a type of tamattu' because he performed both rites together in one journey. And then as for the one who made tamattu', then also he returns home with Hajj and Umrah. He also returns home with Hajj and Umrah. So the one who is making ifrad, he returned home with Hajj. As for the one who's making qiran, he returned home with Hajj and Umrah. And the one who's making tamattu', he returned home with Hajj and Umrah likewise. Now the difference between these two, what is that? That the one who made tamattu', he actually performed the rites of both of them himself. Physically, he performed all of the rites. And the one who made qiran, he didn't physically perform the rites of umrah, although he intended that and combined them with the rites of hajj, and he has that reward, and this is lawful and legislated. But he didn't perform the rites of umrah physically. But he has the reward for that by his intention. So from here, we see that the one who made tamattu', he has the most actions. Who worked the most? And we say, if you ever made Umrah, you know you have to work. If you made Hajj, you know it's work. It's It's something that's an action of worship with your mind, body, and soul. It's something that you and your wealth. You do it with your body. It's a physical action of worship. It's physical. You have to be strong and patient. Likewise, you need to perform these rites. It's not something that's simply or easy to perform physically. It requires effort. It requires effort. So the one who's making tamattu, he had the most effort. He made the most physical effort by performing an entire umrah and finishing, and then performing the entire hajj and finishing. So from here, we see that a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned this is also from the aspect that the tamattu is better. It's better and more virtuous. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So with that, I hope that these rites are clear. These rites are clear for all of us and for those listening. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge and a good understanding of His religion, and to make the knowledge alive for us and a proof for us and not against us. So we know how to perform these rites now, and in general, a person, he should perform the tamattu'. This is what is recommended. But we will find out there's sometimes circumstances when he will have to perform, for example, qiran, if he's late. If he gets to Mecca late, and if he were to perform, he made the intention to make tamattu', so now he's going to make umrah. He has the intention to make umrah, but he got delayed. So if he makes umrah now, he might miss Arafah. So now he will just turn his tamattu' to qiran. To qiran. And now he has the umrah, but it's in his intention. He doesn't have to do the actions. So now he'll go catch the hujjaj in Arafah, so he can catch the hajj, because this is from the greatest pillars and it has a specific time. If it's gone, it's gone. If it's gone, the hajj is gone for that year. So therefore, maybe he's in that case. Likewise, and from the evidence, we will see that the author, he mentioned narrations and he indicating all these affairs. We will discuss them, inshallah, whenever we read the narrations. But this is what happened to Aisha, radiallahu anha. She had intended to make umrah. She's making tamattu'. And this is what the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ordered all of his wives, likewise, to do. And after they had entered into hajj, to turn their hajj, all of it, to umrah, and to make tamattu'. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she's intending to make umrah, and then just before they get to Mecca, her menses came just before they start the umrah for hajj. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her to put the hajj into her umrah and to be qarina, and so that she has a way out now, because she can't perform the umrah. So the way out for this person here is to turn the umrah into hajj. Qiran, into Hajj Qiran. And this is allowed so long as the one who's making Umrah did not begin the Tawaf. If they began the Tawaf, it's too late now. You can't change anything after that. So if the one who's making Umrah, Tamattu', it's allowed for him to turn that into Qiran if he needs to, so long as he didn't make the Tawaf. So long as he didn't make the Tawaf. And this would be in the case of the woman who gets her menses at that time, or somebody who becomes ill, or the likes, where they're coming late, and so on and so forth. Now he will benefit from this knowledge here. Now he'll benefit from this knowledge here. But in general, a person, he will want to make tamattu'. He will go with the intention to make umrah, and then after that to make hajj. With the intention to make umrah, and after that to make hajj. Even if he already made tamattu' before, he'll make it again. Even if he already made it before, he'll make it again. And this is better for him. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. If there's any comments or questions or corrections with regards to that which has preceded, inshallah, we can discuss them. And bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in our next class, we'll begin reading the narrations that the author, he mentioned in Bab At-Tamattu', and discuss the masail and the issues that are related and mentioned directly in those narrations. Now,
Sheikh, he has a little bit confused. You say even if he done before his Hazrat Amattu, he do it again?
Not the same year. Next year.
Next year, okay.
Not the same year. You can only make hajj one time. You can only make hajj one every year, only one time a year.
Why I'm telling this, some people, they do like, is umrah two times.
That's not tamattu'. That's not tamattu.
In Aisha, they go Wadia, they do put that ihram again, and they do Umrah.
Yes, this Umrah here is another Umrah. It has no relationship to Hajj. So they'll make, for example, tamattu', and in that they'll make Umrah and then they'll make Hajj. And then they'll remain in Mecca after that and make Umrah again. Or they'll make Umrah for their tamattu', and while they're waiting for Hajj, they'll make Umrah again and again and again and again and again, like this. And this is not recommended, although it would be considered correct. But the people of knowledge, they dislike this and they discourage this and they're not encouraged this. They do not encourage this. Some people, they'll go and make Umrah for themselves, and then they want to say, oh, I want to make Umrah for my mom, and I want to make Umrah for my dad, and I want to make Umrah for my uncle, and I want to make Umrah for this person and that person, and they're all in the same journey. This is not recommended. This is not from the Sunnah. It's not recommended to make Umrah more than one time in the same journey. It's not recommended to make Umrah more than one time in the same journey. Rather, if you want to make Umrah time after time, and what is encouraged in the narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tabi'u bayna al-Umrah wal-Hajj, bayna al-Hajj wal-Umrah," to make them consecutively. That doesn't mean in the same journey. If a person travels to make Umrah, he'll make one Umrah. He'll make it for himself, which is most recommended, or he'll make it for his loved ones that have deceased and likes like that. That's allowed. But even then, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, it's better for a person just to make it on yourself, to make it for yourself, unless somebody is taking care of an obligation that was upon somebody and trying to help remove that responsibility, that's another thing. But just to make Umrah on behalf of this person and that person, trying to do good, and inshallah, this, it's not blameworthy, but it's better just to make Umrah for yourself. You make Umrah for yourself one time, two times, three times. If somebody made Umrah for somebody else, alhamdulillah, not all in the same journey. He'll make Umrah, he'll make a journey to Mecca, he'll make Umrah one time. After that, he will stay in Mecca for as long as he likes. But he will not leave and make Umrah again. He will stay in Mecca, and he will make. You can make tawaf, you can pray salat, you can read Quran, you can make du'a, you can benefit from the classes in Mecca. All of this is legislated and good. And one thing you will not do is go traveling around and sightseeing. This is not good. Go sightseeing, and definitely he will not go climb up the mountain and try to go to the cave of Hira and the likes like this. All of this is not recommended by the people of knowledge and the companions. They didn't do that. And this is from the traps and the tricks of the devil to waste a person's time while he's in Mecca. To waste a person's time while he's in Mecca. And rather, he will spend as much time as he can after he makes Umrah. He will spend the rest of the time as much as he can in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the Kaaba. At the Kaaba, sitting in front of the Kaaba in the daytime and the nighttime, making du'a, sitting in the classes that are there from the well-known scholars of the Sunnah, and reading the Quran, memorizing the Quran, studying hadith, reviewing hadith, benefiting from being worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, calling Allah, begging Allah Azza wa Jalla in front of his house for one's needs and the likes like this. All of this is good. As for to make Umrah and then to run back out and to go right around the corner to Tan'im and come back and make Umrah again, and all in the same time, this is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nobody from the companions did that. Nobody from the companions did that. The only thing that they take this from is from Aisha radiallahu anha, because after she made the Hajj, all of her co-wives, they made Umrah and Hajj. So she returned with Hajj only, but she had the intention of Umrah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that. She said, but still, I just feel like I have to have the same actions. So he told her brother Abdurrahman to take her to Tan'im and to accompany her in the Umrah. And she made Umrah for this reason, and he accompanied her and didn't make Umrah himself. So all of this is a clarification that it's not recommended. And Allah knows best. So if a person, he wants to make Umrah for somebody else, for example, he had it in his mind. He wants to make Umrah for his mother that had passed, or his father has passed. This is what he wants to do. He will do that on one journey. He will leave his home and he will travel to the lands of Mecca, and he will make the ihram on behalf of that person, and he will make Umrah on behalf of that person. He will finish, and he will, after that, not make Umrah again on that journey. The only time it could possibly be considered a bit lighter is if after that he traveled to Al-Madinah. Because this is another journey. And then after traveling to Medina, he comes back to Mecca. He goes to Medina to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he's going to come back to Mecca. So now when he's going back to Mecca, he's passing the miqat again. So now if he made ihram from that miqat to make an umrah again, inshallah, this is much lighter and would not be considered any blameworthy as much as the one who is just inside Mecca, and he goes right out to the clears to Tan'im, to Masjid Aisha, to the hill, and he comes back like this. This was not legislated, but here, leaving Mecca and going to Medina, he's going outside the Miqat now entirely, outside of the Haram, all the way to past another Miqat. When he comes back to Mecca, he's passing the Miqat, so he comes in with a new ihram from the Miqat. Inshallah, that is better if a person he just insisted. But Allah knows best. It's good to make Umrah for yourself. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, from the best deeds that one can do for somebody else that has passed is to make dua for them. Better than Umrah, to make dua for them. Beg Allah to forgive them and to pardon them and to overlook their faults and to have mercy on them and to shower them with His mercy and to be pleased with them and to pardon them, to accept from them. And to beg Allah Azza wa Jal time after time and over for one's father or mother has passed. This is from the best. From the best of deeds, better than charity. Any better than charity. One could give charity on behalf of them likewise, or he can make Umrah or Hajj and the likes like this, but better than all of that is to make sincere dua. To make sincere dua for them. This is better. So this question here reminds me of another issue that's similar like this, any wasting time while on these rites. Wasting time while on these rites. One, he will not do that. Rather, he will focus. He will focus and he will spend his time wisely. Performing the rites. And similarly like this happens on Arafah. On Arafah, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stopped in this particular spot and he said, وَقَفْتُ هَهُنَا وَعَرَفَ كُلُّهَا مَوْقِفٍ. I stopped here, but Arafah, all of it is a place for resting, for stopping, for dua and the likes like this. Some people, what do? They go to the mountain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stopped where he stopped and he faced the Qibla to make dua. He didn't face the mountain. He faced the Qibla. There's a call, it's called Jabal al-Rahmah. And Arafah, the mountain of mercy. And the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't climb up that mountain. He didn't go to that mountain. He didn't go on that mountain. He didn't face that mountain to make dua. He faced the Qibla. He faced the Kaaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the direction for dua. So this is the thing. Many people today, what do? They go to that mountain. They'll come to Arafah and they'll spend and waste so much time and energy and effort climbing up the mountain thinking that it's a virtue. This is innovation. It's not a virtue. To believe that it's a virtue is an innovation. And this is violating those rights in the worst manner. Violating the rights of al-Islam and ascribing to the deen that which is not from it. And then even more severe, some of them, they'll take rocks from the mountain and they'll stack seven of them on top of each other. They'll take rocks from the mountain they'll climb the mountain first and foremost. It's not legislated. Wasting their time, wasting their energy many times in order to do that, because so many of them are heedless and ignorant and foolish. They're fighting each other in line to go up there. And it's not even legislated. And it's not even legislated. فَرِيحْلَ لِلَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُسِيبُهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُسِيبُهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. What's more than that is humiliation. Fighting one another in Hajj. وَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. And to do something that's not even legislated, nor from the Sunnah, nor pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then on top of that, worse than that, is after pushing and fighting to get there, many times they will even have corrupt creed. And from that is they'll take seven rocks and stack them on top of each other. You know why? Because they believe if they do that they're going to have great provision, or that their life will be increased in length. That their lifespan will increase if they stack seven rocks from the rocks of this mountain on Arafah on top of each other and they stay there. This is a means to increase their lifespan, or a means to increase their provision and their benefit and their benefit in this life. All of this is falsehood and from the worst of affairs. He's in Ihram, he's in Hajj on the sacred rites on Arafah, wasting his time like this in this manner, climbing up this rock, then fighting with the people, arguing to get there, and then on top of that, if he had this foul creed, it's even more severe and more severe. Rather, what person he would do in Arafah, he will find a place that's comfortable for him and his people that he's with, and he will sit there. Making sure, he's in Arafah, then he will sit there all day long, making dua and calling on Allah, facing the Qibla. Standing, sitting, remembering Allah when he's standing, remembering Allah when he's sitting, and the likes like this, calling on Allah all the way until sunset. All the way until sunset, like this. And then after that, he will leave. After that, he will leave. Likewise, similar things they do in Muzdalifah, thinking that there's a specific place you have to be at, and that this place has more virtue, and the likes like this. So many innovations, so many false creeds and beliefs of like folklore. And in America, when we're little, we call them fairy tales. Fairy tales, stories that are not real, stories that are made up in lies, like this. So if you go to this rock, if you go to this mountain and you put seven stones on top of each other, then your lifespan will be longer. SubhanAllah. That's what they say. If you when you lose a tooth, you stick it under your pillow and somebody's gonna come and bring you a dollar. That's what they told us. They're telling that's what they told Allah Mustan. And that it's similar. It's no difference. But it's even worse though, because they're ascribing it to al-Islam, and to the deen of Allah. And to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, wa liyadhi billah, or the fat man is gonna come to the chimney and he's gonna leave presents for you. It's the same, it's the lies, the made up lies, but they're making up lies about Islam even worse. And the believers, they're misguided, they say La ilaha illallah and they believe in this falsehood. Where is La ilaha illallah and they believe that some rocks that are stacked on top of each other is gonna mean to increase his lifespan and bring him benefit and blessing in this life? Where is the La ilaha illallah with this? Where's Muhammad Rasulullah with this? This is very sad. Wallahu al-musta'an. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.